I want to raise the question of the relationship between freedom and religion, or as our text suggests, is a nation truly blessed when God is its Lord? Is it really true that there is a direct relationship, a direct connection between freedom and God? The first thing I want to say this morning is that there is no such thing as freedom without responsibility. There's no such thing as absolute freedom where the individual is free to do just as he pleases. Freedom, you see, always carries duty, responsibility. There's a story of the early days of the slave trade when a ship carrying 200 slaves was sailing from Africa to America. Somehow the slaves in the hold of the ship slipped their bonds and managed to free themselves. They stormed up on the deck and in a fit of rage and revenge threw all of the crew into the ocean. Now they were totally free. However, not a single one of them knew anything about ships or sailing or navigation or geography. They were in the middle of the ocean, absolutely free, but utterly destroyed. There was no one to give them direction. Their freedom without limits, without hindrance, was their own undoing. Picture, if you will, a kite soaring up towards the heavens, straining against its string, lunging upwards to the clouds. But it is not free. It is hindered by its string. It is tied to the earth when it longs to sail into the blue. But when it gets its wish, the string is released and the cord is cut, the kite is helpless. It flutters to the ground. Its total freedom has brought it down. Only its restraint made it possible to fly. Someone has said that freedom is the absence of undue restrictions. Undue restrictions. And freedom is an opportunity to exercise one's rights and powers. But most of us ignore the undue restrictions part. We think any restriction is undue, and we only want to exercise our rights and our powers. But freedom without responsibility is destructive. It will always come fluttering to the ground. So many today want their rights and their powers, but they offer back no responsibility, no duty. And if they achieve their goals, they may very well bring down the freedom of us all. Let me illustrate. We hear a lot about freedom of the press and the rights of the First Amendment. But suppose you're trying to teach your child reverence for life. By the time your child is 15 years old, he will have watched such programs as A-Team, Hill Street Blues, Magnum, and many others. And he will have seen 15,000 murders committed before his very eyes. How can he have much reverence for life when he is seeing people slaughtered, killed, murdered every day? Or suppose you're trying to teach your child sexual morality according to biblical standards. When they're only 8 or 9 years old, they will be struggling to understand suggestive sexual allusions that everybody else is laughing about. Or they will be presented with scenes of sexually explicit activity. How can they think that there is any sexual standard when all they see says there is none? If it feels good, do it. A famous American made this statement over 10 years ago. He said, "Our permissive society has affected me. I watch things on TV today I would not have tolerated in my life 20 years ago. And then he goes on to ask, where should we draw the line? In these areas of entertainment, the lines become blurred. Where do we distinguish between what a non-Christian enjoys and a Christian enjoys? And who is this person who has been affected by our permissive society? Who is this person tolerating things at once he would have rejected?" Nobody butch, just Billy Graham. And isn't that true in your own life? It is in mine. Today I'm exposed to sexually explicit scenes. I hear words used that as a little boy we tried out behind the barn. I would have not tolerated those things in my home 10 years ago. I'm being impacted and changed by a permissive society. Have you found that your standards are changing too? The freedom being exercised without responsibility or restraint by others is impinging on our freedom, and we are steadily eroding the basic principles on which our nation was founded. So first of all, undue restrictions may hinder freedom, but freedom without restrictions can enslave us too. Freedom always carries with it duty, responsibility. The second thing I want to say is this. Freedom without direction. Freedom that doesn't know where it's going can enslave us. To put it another way, freedom must always be to something, not from something. One writer has put it this way. Freedom is never merely a breaking away from something, but must always include a commitment to something that is greater than oppression. For example, look at Iran. In the 70s, the nation felt oppressed under the leadership of the Shah. It rose up and threw off his yoke of bondage. But they were freeing themselves from something, not freeing themselves for something, to something. As a consequence, today they are under a worse a reign of oppression than before. They had nothing to which they had committed themselves, and find themselves now under the harsh domination of a fanatic. Another example is Nicaragua. They threw off the tyranny of one petty dictator only to don the yoke of communism, which has proved to be even more severe, even more oppressive. It's not enough to be free from something. We must be free to something. 200 years ago, our nation struggled to throw off the bondage of an unwise British rule. But the struggle in those years was not mere rejection of the oppressive living conditions of 17th century Europe that started the flow of immigration to our land, nor was it mere rebellion against 18th century colonial rule by England. No. Our forefathers were committed to establish a new nation under God. They had a commitment to establish a place with the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that would be the foundation on which they would build. As one writer put it, the founding fathers knew that freedom from something will falter unless accompanied by a strong sense of responsibility to something. So first, there is no freedom without duty, without responsibility. Second, there is no true freedom unless it is to something that's worth fighting for, to something that's worth sacrificing for, to something that is worth dying for. And the third thing I would like to suggest is this. Freedom is ultimately spiritual. Our text this morning says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And if a nation has no God who is the Lord, freedom will ultimately fail. And there are two reasons why freedom will ultimately fail. The first reason is because of sin in others. There are always those who seek to control and to dominate others. There's the Berlin Wall. There's Ethiopia. There's Afghanistan. There's Lebanon. There are so many so-called idealists, even some religious leaders in this country, who never compare America to other lands. They compare America to their own ideals, which are just that. And every wrong our nation has ever committed only proves to them how bad America is. It rarely occurs to them that wherever human beings are found, there are tragic wrongs. But to make a world decent and free takes much hard work, much sacrifice, and frequently it has taken the lives of young men who today lie buried under a sea of crosses at places like Normandy and Iwo Jima, or whose names are written on a black memorial stone, committing our dead in Vietnam. Yes, there is sin in others. Most of us have grown up taking our freedom for granted. But there are thousands in the world who have died trying to come to the land of the free. We have just heard the tragic news of a boxload of Mexican men who perished on a railroad siding trying to come here. Back during the days of the sailing ships, 40,000 Irishmen alone died trying to come to America. And today, boat people by the thousands have perished, seeking desperately to reach our shores. So the first reason freedom will be lost if a nation doesn't have God as its Lord is because of sin in others. And while America may not measure up to the ideal, in reality, it's the greatest place in the world where everyone would love to live. The second reason freedom will perish without spiritual foundations is because of sin in our own lives. In John 8:34, Jesus tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." And isn't that true in your life and in mine? We become slaves to our own worst natures, slaves to sin. Where's the nearest sinner? We only have to look in the mirror. And because of sin in my life, I will seek to abuse others for my own gain. I will treat others in ways that satisfy my needs, that meet my goals. I think of the trial of Barbie in France. And how could this German leader have done the dreadful things he did? Because it pleased him. Because it met his own needs. Because it furthered his own career. Yes, because of sin in himself. And sin in others and sin in myself, unbridled by any religious commitment, will bring freedom down. But you know, Jesus says something else in the 8th chapter of John. He also says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you stay in my word, you are truly my disciples. And then he says this, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. That brings me to the fourth thing I want to say this morning. Those who have been freed from the power of sin, those who are emancipated from their own worst natures, are the very ones who have led the world in the fight to win freedom of all kinds, not only for themselves, but for others. Do you realize there is no other group in human history so clearly defined who have done more to win freedom than those who have themselves been freed from sin by Jesus Christ? His truth has set them free, and in the process they have fought to win freedom from others. The French philosopher Vinet perceived the great truth when he wrote that the immortal seed of freedom in the world, the immortal seed of freedom in the world, is Christianity. And that brings us back to the question, is it true that religion is the foundation of freedom? Is it true that a nation is blessed when its God is the Lord? Our founding fathers thought so. Our Declaration of Independence is a religious document from its first sentence to its last. One columnist puts it this way. The American nation was born wrapped in an inspired document that affirms for all times the official and unequivocal recognition by the American people of our belief and our faith in God. Do you realize that our declaration, founded on a belief in God, has five references to Him? Let me list them for us. First, God is referred to as the Creator of all men. Second, God is the supreme lawgiver. Third, God is the source of all rights. Fourth, God is the world's supreme judge. And fifth, it affirms that God is our patron and protector. The Declaration affirms God's existence is self-evident, a self-evident truth that requires no further discussion or debate. The greatest threat in America that we face today, as we celebrate the 4th of July, is not Russia. It is not Japan. It is not forces from without, but forces from within. If Christianity founders and falls, freedom will ultimately follow. Our freedom of religion is threatened by freedom from religion. The religious emphasis in our nation's beginning was the foundation of our freedom today. But that freedom is not eternally guaranteed. Our ideals of human rights and equality will flourish only if they are supported by those who worship God. Today, freedom in the world has fallen on hard times. In lands where communism dominates, millions upon millions are not free at all. Many freedom movements in our time have led only to other forms of tyranny. Can freedom survive? It can survive only where there are men and women who know Jesus. He is the truth who sets us free from one another and from ourselves. If you value your freedom, you must value your Lord. As the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let us pray.